Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
This is Leslie Kane, and you're listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and I am joined on today's show by two guests with a bit of a European flavour. They represent the newly formed European Crash Retrieval Initiative, and they are also the co-founders of UAP Sweden. Love to welcome to the podcast Thomas Bovender and Alexander Terrell. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you so much. Real pleasure to be here.
Good to have you on. Little peek behind the curtain, folks. We're doing this with a take two, just for some connection issues on the first go, but we should be fine for the rest of the recording. So I'm going to come to you, Thomas, unsurprisingly first, and ask you to give us a little bit about yourself and how far back does your interest in the UFO topic go?
Yeah, thank you. It's a great pleasure being here with you. And my background is actually a bit far more further back than I first realized. I had some early childhood and also teenager experiences that I kind of pushed aside. But then in the autumn of 2022, I experienced four orbs flying over the old water tower here in Västervik, on the east coast of Sweden. Together with my daughter, and that was kind of change of paths in my life, and I started to go back and realize that other things that I've seen and experienced must also be part of something bigger, like the UFO UAP phenomena, and I wanted to connect with people, so I started just a basic Facebook group called the Connection Group, just to connect with people, but also to connect the dots and, finding pieces of the puzzle, the connection between questions that I had and still have, of course. So from there on, we just, 1 to 3 to 30 to 300 people joined together in a network, very randomly formed. And then we developed into UAP Sweden, which is basically an organization that is not an organization. We're just like on social, different social platforms, and no strings attached, so to speak, and no basically structure in a common organization form. And that's a very big liberty and freedom, because we can do whatever we want, basically, and we move and develop very organically out from the interests and different personal kind of passions for the subject, and academics go from their kind of perspective, and me being a teacher and an experiencer together with my daughter follow those threads and connect with other experiences, and we can have a conversation that is very interesting. And like having interviews there where you can actually speak each other's language. And that's, I think that's a crucial point of meeting someone who is also a believer and knows that the phenomena is real. So that's the main line for UAP Sweden, that the phenomena is real, and let's see what we can find out about it.
Yeah, it's a really good point about speaking to someone with the same language, the same expectations, because just meeting an ordinary member of the general public and talking about UFOs, they have a very different stance on UFOs, a different way of thinking about it, talking about it, and you can't always have that same conversation. So I can appreciate that's why the group was set up. And Alexander, I'll come to you and ask you the same question about your background and interest in UFOs.
Yeah, my background is a little bit all over the place professionally and not too terribly relevant to this topic, to be honest. But like many, I was just blind to the whole issue until post 2017 and the whole, well, we all know what happened then. And so that sort of got the snowball rolling, and then slowly started to see what the situation is here at home. You know, you hear, of course, you know, this is all, why is this all happening in America and so on, and started to look what's going on locally. And turns out, of course, you know, as we all know, the phenomenon is global. Doesn't feel that way sometimes when you're following the media, but precisely for that reason, I think we decided to try to do something about that very fact. And the legacy UFO organization here in Sweden was very unsatisfactory to us for a number of reasons that merit a podcast on their own. They're essentially debunkers, refined debunkers, but still debunkers. So we wanted to give an alternative, both as Thomas alluded to, for experiencers to connect with each other, but also just to spread awareness of the topic, because it's very much lacking here in Sweden. I mean, we are, if you guys in the UK are behind the States, I think we are as far behind you in the UK here in Sweden. It's absolutely dead silent on the topic. So we're trying to do our little bit to, you know, get journalists interested and politicians, etc.
No, I can appreciate that. And let me stay with you for this one, Alexander. You say the topic in Sweden is like in the UK. If you approach your ordinary members of the public in Sweden and you stop them on the streets and ask them, what do they think about UFOs? What are their thoughts? What would that conversation sound like?
I'd say they don't think about UFOs. I mean, it is changing slowly, you know, with Grush and everything. People have, they have something in their back of their minds that something is going on. But it's still very much viewed as a non-reality, a non-issue, and basically a conspiracy theorist tinfoil hat pastime, unfortunately. Mm. I think we are still there if you're talking to a random stranger most of the time.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Thank you, Alex. Thomas, we'll come back to yourself then. Let's talk about the European Crash Retrieval Initiative. That's a mouthful for me to say over and over again on the podcast, and I could be saying it for an hour. Let's get ECRI is the common name you mentioned before we started recording. So if it's the ECRI, but we're going to go with ECRI. How did ECRI come about? What's its origins?
Yeah, so it was actually an idea that popped up in different brains at the same time. And we realized that we want to have some kind of hands-on project that could present tangible, like physical proof. Because we as experiencers and also scientists sometimes already know that we have proof. For example, Beatrice Villarroel, she has done research about disappearing transients, like disappearing stars, you could call them, but they are not stars. And this is the pre-Sputnik time era. So basically, things disappearing like this. We didn't have satellites back then. And it kind of also is a bit mysterious that it happens at the same time as the Washington flyover. So we have scientists who kind of know there's something really important that we need to widen and finding proof that can be peer reviewed and also being reproduced, of course, being checked and discovered and split up in multiple samples sent to many institutes and facilities, research facilities, not just being picked up and forgotten about and, you know, being privately used to gain power and technological advantage over someone else. So our thought and drive to do this is actually to have a people's organization that doesn't involve money or like ownership of anything that we can find or figure out, but it should be like a common possession, and it should be interdisciplinary, researched, and totally open sourced. So that's basically why we have a report page where people can go in and they can add the data and their information, and most importantly, how we can contact them. And from there, we can have an interview and deep interviews and go further into the investigation part, which is basically where we find a case that it's so trustworthy and interesting that we will take in donations or people who want to fund projects. And then we start this project, basically, where we do everything we can to see if we can penetrate with LIDAR or ground penetrating radars to dig, or like use underwater ROVs. For example, one of the team members is Dennis Åsberg, who is the founder and leader for Ocean X. And that's he's a treasure hunter, basically, and he happened to find a very strange anomaly in the sea bottom of the Baltic Sea. So, of course, we have on-ground sites and also submerged sites. So, we try to keep the network that is growing, to keep many competences and possibilities to act real fast once we get an interesting case.
You've got that team you mentioned, and I'll very quickly, aside from yourselves, we've got Thomas and Alexander, you mentioned Dennis, we have Beatrice Veruel. Beatrice is going to come on the podcast very soon. That's just been a scheduling conflict. She's done a few talks recently. She is part of the VASCO project. She's a PhD astronomer. You have Anders Worrell, who a PhD in engineering and industrial design. He's an ambassador for the group. E. Thomas Pearson, who's a senior advisor. You have Linus Holmand, who's an analyst. Peter Neergaard, an analyst. Helen McCaw just had a paper published recently that I was posting about. She's also an analyst. John Hagstrom, senior advisor. Emil Marshak, media strategist. Carl Hemborg, media strategist. And Anna Valanska, art director. Sorry if I butchered anyone's surnames there especially, but hopefully if people go onto the page, they can see you've got quite the group assembled already, especially looking at Dennis and Beatrice. These are names of folks involved in a way already, or starting to be involved in the UFO UAP topic. How easy are you finding it to get folks to come on board, especially when it's a voluntary organization at this moment?
I think we got a great core group there, where I think Thomas and I are probably the least qualified, but somehow we're the ones sitting here speaking. But we got some, as you say, some great scientific minds. We have some criminal detectives. We have people from all sorts of professional backgrounds and ufological backgrounds. And it's not been an issue at all to find people who are interested in contributing. So, but we're trying to keep it to a relatively small core group for this purpose, but we're very open to collaborations. So we're very much, because we are right now, as that list you just read tells, we're mainly in Sweden and to some degree in the UK. But the ambition is to be a European-wide organization. So we are very much welcoming any existing networks around Europe who wish to collaborate. And again, as Thomas mentioned, like, it's never our intention to take any ownership of any material that would come into our possession. Everything will be, we're more facilitators rather than anything else. So we are, very open to collaborations with existing networks around Europe.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
The group has its aims or mission goals posted on the website, and I'll just go through those for now for folks who haven't been on there. So it talks about, you know, David Grush coming forward, talking about crashed craft and biological materials. Essentially, the ECRI is saying, you know, rather than waiting on a government-led disclosure, let's go and do something about this ourselves. And I think that's a stance a lot of folks would appreciate. You mentioned you want to create an independent community-driven project, empowering ordinary citizens to uncover answers they previously appear to have been denied. I think you've covered that one well. Identify credible crash sites using data-protected information gathering and applying methods stemming from criminal forensics, science and psychology, with the oversight of professionals from within these fields. Visit and examine these crash sites in order to safely gather any materials, share our findings with scientists for further examination, and share any discoveries with the public in a transparent manner. I'll go straight to a listener question at this point to bring in, because I think it's a good one. And Thomas, if you want to come in on this one, I saw you were unmuted there. Christian says, I don't want to be negative, but I think the military has the upper hand and would beat you to any crash. You've got to beat the military, the men in black, and that's going to be difficult to do. How do you beat that? And that's a sensible question, I think. I get what Christian's getting at. You're not just looking to come in and examine cases of someone locally who has claimed an experience or even an abduction experience or a sighting. You're going straight for the holy grail of the UFO topic, and that is the crash retrievals. So is that something you've thought about as a difficulty, that this is such a big aspect to the topic to come in at a grassroots level?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, do we believe that the military is interested in this? Yes, we do. And do we believe that we have had previous crashed sites that have been, you know, retrieved and also perhaps being tampered with, so they can be like, you know, leftovers that are not anything important? Yeah, we do. And we also believe that the military have much better technology, and they have the radars and systems, and they will know much before we do. But also, if I can see 4 orbs coming in shifting formations where I live, you also have to consider that the phenomenon is not just like a random appearance. It's everywhere, all of the time, for those who are actually open to experience and see them. And these orbs that I saw, they were physical, metallical objects. They were not just lights in the sky. They were about 100 meters on top of my head. They were speaking to me in my head and to my daughter. So I fully believe we are talking about a non-human intelligence here, and they have a massive appearance on the globe. And sure, the military is, I mean, they're doing their thing, but will they be able to cover all the sites, all the crashes, all the gifting? Also, perhaps the phenomena wants to make us step by step realize that there is a bigger reality. And for example, I just came home one hour ago from our first field investigation, and this is not an official news coverage or anything that you could find in the media, but this is from our group, our own experience, observing a very unusual phenomena. And we went out, fighting the mosquitoes, still have the bites in my forehead, and looking it up with different scientific methods, right? If we can find frequency differences and radioactivity, and also biology anomalies. So we've actually done our first 2-day field excursion, you could call that. And it's been a great learning, and we didn't really find any proof this time, even though we found some interesting things. And just to be able to do this, we take our own money and we take our own time and go off. I'm a teacher, and still I'm just, dedicated to try to do this. And if we have 100,000 or 10,000 people doing these things, like asking a friend of a friend who has seen something coming down. Personally, I have another interesting lead I saw in my hometown, something falling down. And you can always go there and see what it is. Most of the things we experience, they are just prosaic. They are normal things, meteorites or debris, coming from human activities, of course. But also we have so many interesting historical stories, even way back from the, folklore time, telling about strange things from the skies, right? And in modern time, if you would call it, we have the ghost rockets in Sweden, for example, where it was not just one ghost rocket that came down, like a cylindrical kind of missile thing, but it was thousands of rockets all over Scandinavia. Alex, would you like to say something about that interesting case, perhaps?
I suppose you mean the ghost rocket one that, it was a pretty curious case. That one actually crashed right in the front of our military commander-in-chief, right in front of his eyes. And that's very well documented, both in his journal and by General Doolittle, who came over from the States. So, of course, our military has been aware of this phenomenon since then. It's not something you forget about, but they're better at pretending that they're not interested than the Americans, for sure. But I would just, as you're saying, Thomas, and as your listeners say, of course, the military security states will always have the upper hand. This is a long odds endeavor, but the potential reward is equally high. So
let me say, Alex, because that's a really good point you both make, that while the name of the organization is Crash Retrieval, this isn't just going to focus on a huge craft coming down somewhere in Sweden, for example, or Spain or Italy or the UK. There are aspects of this phenomenon where people report something being left behind, whether it's something dripping from a craft, whether it's, radiation left behind from someone says, I was in the woods and I saw an object coming through the trees. You could go out there a few days later and find imprints on the ground, pieces of, a material, whatever that may be, and that on the boots, on the ground, or, boots their first investigation is very important from a scientific point of view. I completely understand that. I wonder, from a Swedish point of view, and this was something that was brought up by Peter, he mentions, for example, a famous case in Brazil, the Virginia crash, implied that even though it was outside of the US, the Americans swooped in and seized that craft. Would you still expect, if a major incident happened on Swedish soil or European soil, the American military would still be the first ones to get there for any kind of big retrieval?
100%. I mean, Sweden just joined NATO, but that's strictly a formality when it comes to this issue. So, yes, 100%. And as to your previous point, yes, I don't imagine that I will be out, you know, on some hot case finding a flying saucer in someone's backyard anytime soon. But I can imagine a situation where someone has perhaps had some interesting artifact in their possession for some time, and they have not been quite sure as where to turn with it. And there is where we can step in as facilitators to, again, not take any ownership claims on this material, but rather help them get into the right hands for scientific analysis. And we have, you know, connections with two of the biggest universities here in Sweden. And of course, Beatrice is also on the board of the Sol Foundation. So we have a lot of competent people that could be connected if relevant.
Thomas, do you want to come in on that one?
Yeah, I think Dennis Ocean X project with the Baltic Sea anomaly is very interesting. And they found this on the bottom of the ocean, and it became actually a kind of a world news. You know, it looked like the Millennium Falcon from the Star Wars lying there on the bottom. So, but at the same time, this object is still there, and it's still being mysterious. And Dennis is still trying to find the money to actually go down and do some further investigations. And there are still some really interesting aspects, like the technology gets distorted and disturbed. You have very local weather phenomena, clouds shaping, forming just on this spot. We have NATO boats coming and being very interested in this area. At the same time, also, we have like a chance visit from Obama to the, you know, Swedish community. So I think that that's a good example of something that is very interesting, but still it's not, you know, it's not disappeared. It's not claimed by the NATO. And Sweden, we have joined NATO now. So we are expecting probably to see more of that influence with maybe bases in Sweden. And that could be a bit of a harder case for us. They have a more closer presence. But still, it's a very big country. And if we have a voice and a dialogue with the locals, experiencer to experiencer, we will have an upper hand, actually. As Alex said, maybe it's not the big mothership, you know, on the radars, but something small. Yeah. And maybe someone telling us something in feeling that we are sincere and believe them makes the whole difference of telling that extra thing that, okay, so here is something. So, yeah. And also the dialogue that this creates and the cooperation that this creates, like we were happy to be invited to the, what do you call it, New Paradigm Institute to be part of the discussion. And actually, maybe disclosure won't come from the government, like an official, you know, something that the president of the United States says, but maybe it's that I know my neighbor has been like working with his team and looking out and finding, you know, the data, radioactivity, and as you said, the traces in nature and so on. So I believe it. They are like now believers, and that's a sensible guy. So must be something to this. And then that spreads to the next appearance and the next experience. And that's how actually in a anthroposophical way or like a paradigm shift is created. It's from the people, because we have so much, you know, media that is just like, it's stuck, right? But we have we have to rely on alternative sources like podcasts like yours and mouth to mouth, and be able to have the courage to speak up, breaking the stigma. I experienced this, and this was something out of the extraordinary. I can't explain it, but this is true. And just stand your ground, and then it will spread. That opinion will spread.
One of the listeners, Jeff, asks, similar to what was asked before about, you know, this being a difficult area of the conversation to get involved in, but to expand on that, are there any concerns that as a civilian agency or civilian initiative, and this goes for yourselves or the other members of the team, that you would potentially invite some unwanted attention from any Men in Black type organizations or government organizations who potentially don't like what you're doing?
Well, I think there's been some indications that there has been interest from the intelligence community, but we have not experienced anything seriously threatening, I wouldn't say. I mean, it's easy to become paranoid also, and I choose not to be. So, I mean, there is, like, especially if we would find something, obviously there would be interest, but nothing too serious thus far.
Well, let me ask then, and Thomas mentioned before about being open. You mentioned, Alexander, about, you know, this isn't going to be something you would hold on to. So let's just say big success in the coming months, you get a good lead. You go out to the field, you investigate, and you find a material that you believe from initial examinations to be truly anomalous, exotic, maybe from a craft of non-human origin. What do you believe then would be your next steps? Is that something you've discussed as a group? You have the thing in your hands.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Yeah, I think then to get the right scientific eyes on it, first of all. And again, then we are rather well connected to the right people there. And then if we can determine that does indeed not appear to be of human origin, then just get the word out there as efficiently as we can. We'll be back on your podcast first thing, and just try to spread it out as wide as we can.
I think with the connection immediately through Beatrice, you have a straight in to the Sol Foundation there, don't you? So I imagine a Gary Nolan, Peter Scaffish, any of the gentlemen or the ladies involved in that organization would want to be involved in that. So I appreciate it's not exactly you're going to have to phone up lots of different folks and try and get in touch with people. You have an immediate in. And I wonder, you've got support actually, I should say, from Avi Loeb of the Galileo Project. He's coming back on the podcast in a few weeks' time to give some updates. You've got support from Rear Admiral Tim Gallaudet, who is being more and more involved in the UFO topic. And I'll just read a quote from him from your website. He says, "We know from last year's historic hearing before the US Congress that the US is concealing a UFO crash retrieval program and that such exotic craft have been recovered in other regions of the world. I am proud to support the European UFO Crash Retrieval Initiative for the potential scientific breakthroughs it might yield. So you have some big names lending their names to this already. So I'll stay with you first, Alex. What are your realistic hopes, short term and long term, for the project?
Well, I tend to not get too ahead of myself. So if we can get our hands on any kind of material of interest, that would be a big success to me. So that would be my hope, to find something that we can actually present as likely to be of non-human origin. Worst case scenario, we're out here and we're still pushing the issue forward. And as you said before, we're not into the idea of just waiting for the next little nugget, as I think we can agree that the ufological community tend to be somewhat prone to. So we just try to do what we can to push things forward.
And Thomas, same question to yourself. What are those realistic aims, short term and long term?
One of the main reasons is that the goal is to remove the stigma and to have both academics and like common people like myself just having the courage to connect and speak about it. And come out with, you know, stories, but also perhaps things that are physical. But I think most of the traces or proof sometimes could also be metaphysical, like light orbs, for example. I've spoken to friends of mine and also experiences connecting to us about orbs. Like Chris Bledsoe talks about orbs passing through trees, like in a bush. Or even touching a light orb. And what happens then? Like if you touch an orb, I've spoken this week to two people who actually touched an orb. And it would be very interesting to have a scientific approach. Maybe there will leave no traces. Maybe the traces will just be like internal, like a shift in yourself. Or maybe it's whatsoever. We don't know about this. Could be a spiritual thing altogether, not a physical thing. And that's why we have the UAP Sweden also, which is focusing on the whole spectra of the UAP phenomena. But the ECRI initiative is to try to find like the old school UFO, okay? Or some kind of tangible proof. And I think we have that. I mean, speaking about the alien bodies, like the mummies in Peru, for example, I think it's really interesting. And we just need to take a look at it seriously and not just say the scientists in South America, they are not like, they're not real scientists. They're not as good as us in Europe or in Sweden or in the US. Everyone thinks, you know, they are the best level, but we are not. But we are together, if we can spread what we find to peer review it, we could send it to Lund's University, to Uppsala University, to Stockholm University, to, you know, any university in Europe. And then we would have like 20 universities actually saying, what is this? These soft tissues, this shape of a llama skull, what is this? Is it a llama skull or is it not? And then we would have, I think, very interesting data for sure. So I think the proof are already out there, actually. And I think people like Gary Nolan, other researchers have physical things that we need to just look into closer and not owned by one voice. Because if you only have one voice in the top of a pyramid, it's easy to, you know, remove that voice or discredit that voice. But if we have standing shoulder by shoulder, like the people to the power, the common person saying, I know this, I've heard this, I've seen this. And the academic, the bright mind, the bright minds of our time also having an opinion. Then we have the shift, I think. And that's the game changer.
Let me just ask you both
for ECRI.
No, no, it's very well put, well said. And I'm going to ask you both as we start to kind of wrap up. What do you both believe this UFO phenomenon is? And I can come to either of you first, whoever's ready to answer. But if someone was to ask you, if you were on Swedish mainstream media, if you got a big, big news channel or a big podcast came to you and spoke to you and said, you know, the UFO phenomenon, what do you believe is going on? How would you answer?
Well, I would say that none of the aspects of the phenomena can really be discounted. So we're dealing with nuts and bolts, very material phenomenon. That's what we're focused on with ECRI, and I would say that's extraterrestrial. I think, I mean, you can use various explanations and complicate that, but I think we shouldn't necessarily shy away from just saying extraterrestrial. I think it's become an unnecessary taboo to speak plainly about that. And apart from that, I would say there's a lot of other weird things going on that are not always related to that aspect of the phenomenon. But I mean, it's all of the above. It's all part of the explanation.
That's a good answer. I like that, Alexander. And Thomas, what about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think actually the phenomenon is here to help us evolve. That's what I think. I think that we have a major crisis, or many major crises going on. And as a species, and as one of the species is here on planet Earth, we need to, you know, get our shit together, basically. This is not good enough. And I think they are making us realize that we cannot just have one focus of our own ego, but we are part of a wider consciousness, a more togetherness. And not until we are more developed, I think they will be showing themselves, that non-human intelligence will be appearing more openly. That's what I think, because we're kind of primitive still. So it's up to us actually to show a, you know, bigger side of humanity, that we are stepping into a more mature state, more cooperative state, as a whole race. And also I think the phenomenon is a bit, as Alex says, it's a bit different. So we have the ET hypothesis. We all also think we have a more complex explanation that could have, you know, it's like, it's more more of a, you could call it like interdimensionally puzzle. But exactly what that is, I leave to the quantum mechanics and physics and or the like the greater minds. It's just that also the common people are actually asking these questions, even if they are not thinking about UFOs. I think so many people right now are actually, you know, feeling the same questions about who am I, who, what's the purpose of being here on this planet and this in this reality? What's my, you know, purpose being here? What's behind death? Is death the end, and so on? So all these greater questions that used to be like copyrighted by religions, I think are now more open to not just have one big packaged solution, but we are more free to find more correct answers. I'm not saying religious answers are wrong. I'm just saying that the individual search for your truth is very, very important. And by being connected through the internet and through an open mind that you dare to share your ideas, then we will develop as a race. And I think that's the point of the whole UAP phenomena.
I'll come back to you, Thomas. But Alexander, do you want to leave a final message to listeners, to viewers watching? What do you want them to do? How do you want them to use ECRI? And what would you like to say?
Mm. Yeah, I would just keep pontificating a little bit on our previous point there. And that's just that I really don't see this putting it into either or boxes of interdimensional or extraterrestrial. It's really a sort of a mistake to go there, I think. It's not mutually exclusive. So I just wanted to have that said. And then as a final thing, just don't hesitate to get in touch. Like I said many times, we are not here to take ownership of anything. We're here to help. If you have any lead or on anything you think might be of interest, we can help you get that to the right people. So do get in touch through our website. You'll find the official formula for reporting information, and you can also find our email addresses if you have any other questions. So please don't hesitate to get in touch.
And same question, Thomas, what would you like to leave for the listeners and viewers from yourself?
Okay, I think my hope is that the one person, the single person, could feel that I can make a change. And it could be to just have an open mind and listening, being a good listener and not, you know, putting someone down. It could be to start an organization, or it could be to have the courage to speak up and, yeah, you know, like just broaden your minds. I don't know. And we also have this post-disclosure scenario, right? In my mind, we are already through disclosure because I've had personal experiences and I considered things to be proof already, like the research that Beatriz Villarreal has shown. It's really, really interesting. But then we are working with also Unhidden, like a psychology team, who are thinking mm-hmm. about what will happen once we realize on a broad level that we have disclosure and a greater reality. And I think we need to try to prepare each other for this discussion, because what do you say, like a chaotic disclosure would be like a personal chaotic, you know, like when your mind is just upside down and you cannot, what do you call it, like a change of your worldview basically,
and paradigm shifting or ontological shock.
That's the word I was looking for. And that kind of shock could be a problem for society, because when you are going into this rabbit hole, a lot of things in your personal life gets you know, like affected in many good ways, but also in like challenging ways. So I think if we can do this gradually, not just, you know, on a big global level once at a time, I think it will be a much better development for us, and it will have less economical consequences, political and religious consequences. So I think we're seeing disclosure being rolled out, and I hope we can just work together. That's my final wish, that we take an individual responsibility for this.
No, thank you both for your time. I would encourage everyone listening to check out the website, which is ecr-initiative.org. The link for the website will be in the description here as well. That also has links to UAP Sweden, OceanX team, and the Vasco project too. You can get Alexander and Thomas's email addresses from the website and get in touch. And there's a strong listener base in Europe, and anyone who does want to get in touch and help out, reach out to the gents and let them know that you're interested in supporting their efforts. So thank you very much both for your time, and I look forward to having you on again in the future when you've got some more interesting Brilliant. Results to talk about. I'm sure those will come.
Looking forward to that. Thank you so much for this time.
Yeah, thank you.
That is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show out on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify. Just search That UFO Podcast Premium. YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer. A little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Fuck. The little fucker hovered right at the side of
it. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
At BP, we're not just talking strategy. We're making it happen. Growing our upstream business with 6 major new projects in 2025. 4 already live, 2 more scheduled this year. Expecting to add 135,000 barrels a day to peak production, helping drive long-term shareholder value. For more on our growth plans, visit bp.com/strategy at work.